Thank you very much, and hello everyone. This is Brenda speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to the SSR 2 plenary number 102 on the 26th of February 2020 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today is Kaveh, Ramakrishna, Russ, Carrie Ann, Denko, Lauren, Norm, and Zarko. Apologies from Boban and Heather. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer, Steve, and Brenda. Today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks to everybody for joining today. First thing is to make sure that everybody's aware of the two doodle polls that we're doing, given the cancellation of the Cancun meeting, we're going to need to get together face-to-face to deal with the public comments. So there's two polls. The first one is about where we should meet, and the second one is about when we should meet. We have a fair number of people who have responded, but not everyone. And so if you could get those done, so we can make some decisions, I would appreciate it. I noticed that in terms of the when, there is not a single column that has everybody green. So I'm not quite sure what that means, other than maybe people have a lot of things planned in April. Hoping we could get this done in April and not have to spill into May. What do people think? Is there, do we need to offer more dates into May?
So this is Lauren. I mean, if we really can't see a single date, we might have to. That's how I feel about it. At the same time, I'm not sure how realistic it is to get everyone together. We have good response rates. And I think we never, or close to never, had a face-to-face where we had everyone. But I would say if we add 2 weeks in May, at least we have the information and we can then deal with it.
Yeah, of the people that have responded, the highest number we can get on any date is 10, and that would be for the, and they're not next to each other, but the second and third of April could each get 10 people. So, okay, Brenda, could we extend this to ask about May, the first half of May?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, the other thing we need to talk about is with the cancellation, we had time blocked for the 5th and 6th of March to get together face-to-face in Cancun. We don't know whether we will have all of the information from public comment yet. As TUBES have already asked for extensions, and we're trying to figure that out. And we want the information from this discussion in order to answer those groups. So the question is, can we schedule a couple of hours of phone calls on those days and get some work done, or should just fall back and have our normal call on March 4th.
Hi, this is Carrie. I think we should try and follow scheduled times with the Google Docs. I mean, we can work from multiple locations if we probably break the sections up into like smaller teams, persons with time zone similarities, and then try and tackle it that way if that's an option.
Yeah, if we have significant public comment, I agree, that we can work in smaller groups and have something to present to the larger team that way. We also have a significant number of comments that KC put in the document that we need to go through.
Yeah, so this is Lauren. I mean, in addition to those, we have, I think, stuff from Denise coming. She's not on the call, so I'm not sure what's going on exactly. I have also started my pass, and I'm also seeing quite a few issues. One of the ones I'm mentioning all the time is the issue that we said we provide smart recommendations, and we have to work on those. and that is throughout the text. So there is a lot of editing we have to do, not even with the public comment, just that, but essentially to reach what we said we would provide. So, and with having calls next week, so I am happy to have longer calls, maybe something like that. The issue that I have and that I think other people would share is having a full day remote meeting while you're in town in the office is something that is just not realistic. I'm sure Abbott will agree.
Any other thoughts?
It's Casey. I can do a full day meeting. I just wouldn't go into the office. And then it would have to be a certain day that I could clear the calendar. But Fridays, next Friday would work for that mostly. And Tuesday, potentially.
Well, the original plan was for us to be together on Thursday and Friday. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is Lauren again. Sorry to jump in. Friday would be easier for me than Thursday.
This is Carrie as well. Friday, I may have the day off. I can work until probably 3, but then I have to head to the airport.
Okay, what I'm hearing is people would like to have a good block of time together. Friday seems to sound better. Maybe we should schedule like a 3-hour block and just work through the comments on the document. So would March the 6th at the same time as this call, but for 3 hours, work?
This is Lauren. Would work for me.
I'm not hearing anyone.
Yes, that would work for me.
All right. Brenda, could you schedule that for us?
Yes, I will send a cancellation for Thursday's all-day meeting, and I will revise Friday's to be a 3-hour call starting at 1500 UTC. Yep, I'll do that right after this meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right, so next agenda item is that I would like to know whether people in dealing with the constituencies that they're part of, what you're hearing in terms of comment. I know that GAC has asked for an additional 30 days. And somebody asked for an additional week. The encouraging thing is people are reading it. The discouraging thing is their processes, their internal processes seem to not be structured to allow the 40-day comment period to be enough. What are people hearing from other groups so we can get a feel for when we're actually going to get public comment?
It's Casey. ESSAC is working on it. Also had somebody mentioned a extension of the deadline, especially given that Cancun is in a strange pattern, then Jeff mentioned, no, there's a real hurry to get the comments back to SSR2. I'm sort of feeling both sides of it. I really want us to be able to start working on SX feedback. So I'm tempted to ask them to give us something by the deadline and then continue working on it if they want. And we will definitely try to take into account all the comments they make up until whatever date you tell me is the latest. But I really would like to get some of the comments from SSEC in our thinking as soon as possible.
I think that's going to be true for wherever the comments come from. But yes, the sooner the better. But I understand you're trying to reach consensus. Okay, go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, so after the leadership call, I asked around a little bit, and it appears the groups that I talked to are also trying to do something, but they would not suffer if the deadline was extended. I think what we have to keep in mind is that there was quite a lot of public comments going out from ATRT to a variety of other stuff. And with Cancun being canceled, a lot of people are pulled into planning calls and everything's a bit of a mess. So I would be in favor of pushing the deadline back reasonably, maybe 2 weeks from today or whatever is good. I think one request was for 30 days or something like that. Russ, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. No. That
Jack
one, we might
month.
Just... Yeah.
Yes.
So for that one, we might just say, okay, if you give it to us in a month, we'll look at it. But I'm not sure if we want to push the deadline for everyone, because then I doubt we'll see something before that deadline, because then everyone looks at it and it's like, oh yeah, okay, another month. Let's do some other stuff. Well, I think with 1.5 weeks, 2 weeks, it's like, okay, they've given us a breather, but we got to do it.
Well, what part of it depends when we're going to have the face-to-face meeting. We certainly need to have all of the public comments before that. And looking at the doodle poll, right now, April 2nd looks to be winning, but that is less than the 30 days that were asked for.
Yeah, this is Lauren. I mean, we could maybe. I mean, to do. I think the GAC case is a special one. So there we could maybe just liaise with them and kind of tell them, look, this is when we're meeting face to face. Please give it to us the day before, if at all possible. I'm not sure if we should make that the one deciding factor for all the other constituencies and individual comments.
Jennifer, how does, if we say yes to an extension, work? Does everybody get the extension?
So yes, if you extend it formally, then everybody would get the extension. There have been groups in the past that have said comments, we'll look at your comments after the deadline, but with no guarantee that we'll incorporate them.
So has anyone else heard from other constituencies whether they're working on comments? Obviously, individuals can send comment as well.
So this is Lauren. I think just going through whom we have, we definitely have ASAC, RSAC,
and GAC.
We have GAC. We have something is coming from ALAC, probably from, I'm not sure, NCUC, NCSG. Out of that, I expect one we had a call with the registry called the group, so I think they might also. So I think there's quite a few things coming in, just from what we know.
Okay, does anybody else have anything to share? Okay, the next thing that I'd like to spend time on this call doing is looking at the comments that have been put into our document. A couple reasons for doing this is hopefully we can resolve some of them. And the other is we'll get a feel for how this kind of session works on the phone, as opposed to face-to-face, which is where we've mostly done it. So this is item 4 on our agenda. It has a link to the Google Doc. And if you scroll through that document, you'll see that there have been comments inserted. Some of them are by Heather, and some by others. Some of the ones that are marked as Heather are actually based on emails that she received, so that they may not actually have come from her, like the first one, which appears on page 7. She has the comment and then says, from KC. So let's see if we can resolve these issues. The first one is on page 7, as I said. Casey's just looking for this to be, I think, factual, as opposed to removed any recommendation, did not make any recommendations, right?
I can't see the comment, so I trust you, Russ. I'm driving.
Ah, okay. Basically, the text says we removed recommendations that did not align with the strategic plan, and you said we never made those.
Yeah, I don't know why that sentence is in there. I would love to get rid of that sentence altogether. I don't even know what recommendations you're talking about.
I think we should just say, I think if we delete the sentence, the previous sentence really has the important point, which is all of the recommendations are aligned to the strategic plan.
That would be fine.
Okay, I'm going to go into suggested mode, and that way Heather could see this, and she's not on the call, and do the actual cleanup.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is to add a column for the measurable outcome. So we got a similar comment at a very high level from ESSAC, which basically said for each recommendation, we should say what we hope the implementation of this recommendation would solve, or what risk we would come if the recommendation was not implemented. I'm not sure we could put that in a column, but I don't know. This is, I believe, from Casey. Add a column for measurable outcome.
Yeah. Hi, this is Lauren. I'm not sure to what extent you're seeing my reply. So I think I'll just make the point And that is, as I've said before, we said we're going to go with SMART criteria. So I feel that at least internally for now, we need to create probably, I don't know how to do it, maybe a table-ish thing, where we say, okay, this is the SMART part, right? Then we're saying, okay, this is what we intend the measurement to be, or these are options for measurement, so that we actually can see if our recommendations meet the baseline we have. I was thinking about doing this, but then I thought, no, I won't start doing anything because we should agree on how to do it. But I really think this is necessary because A, it's good to give recommendations like that, and B, we should stick to what we promise. So that's what I would try to do to kind of make this a bit more multidimensional than just having the measurable outcome. And then we would have to think later on, how can we put this in the report? That's my two cents.
So, Lauren, it sounds like you actually want to take a look at the write-up for each one and then figure out what belongs in this summary table.
Yes. So I think essentially what I'm trying to say is we need to create some form of tracking device that essentially allows us to go through and that allows us to see what's going on with all the recommendations. We might have, I'm sure we have to rewrite some of them because I went through the document like this. So we have to go through, is this specific? Is this measurable? We have to add, okay, how would it be measured? Is it assignable? Yes, no. We might have somewhere assignability is difficult, right? Is it realistic? So we have to think about what results can be realistically achieved, right? And also time. In quite a lot of cases, we don't have a single one of those covered. And then the priority and I think the ESSAC requests would essentially go into the same kind of tracking table or whatever we want to call it to make sure that all of this is met. Because again, I think we would look pretty stupid if we say it's going to be smart and then it is.
Okay, so I'm not sure what to do with this table, but I agree with everything you just said. Casey, is it okay with you if we deal with this comment by first looking at the recommendations and then figuring out what belongs in the summary table?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Lauren. If this table looks somewhat functional, we can also just put it as an appendix so then everyone can look at that too.
Well, I think we know that there are going to be people who only read this table. And then if the recommendation sparks their interest, then they might go read the findings and the details. Okay, the next comment is also... Go ahead.
I'll also make one comment, Casey. This is related to another comment that ESSAC's going to make, which is the... you know, of the 27 or however many recommendations we have in here, all but four of them are considered high or very high or something. And it's sort of hard to swallow as a reader when it's not clear what is the problem that each of these recommendations is trying to solve and what's the risk if it's not solved. So I think this again goes to, we need a table that also helps us, guides our thinking in prioritizing these recommendations into more than two categories. And I just don't find it legitimate to say that they're all high when we haven't even identified what the problem is that they're solving and how big of a problem it is. So I'm not saying it has to be in the table, but it has to be in the document somewhere. What is the problem that we're trying to solve? What is the outcome that we're going for? How does SSR3 measure that it's actually been achieved?
Completely agree with that.
So this is Lauren. Just to remind you, this is... a function of how we pulled this. where essentially we went through and threw out everything we thought wasn't that important. That is why there is nothing below important. But I think we should have this discussion again, because considering the number of recommendations, I would say there are two or three we might be able to yank.
Well, I think that the making the text cover all of the aspects of SMART will lead us to either reducing or increasing the priority, but then we get to have an informed discussion.
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay.
I guess I should warn folks that before this is over, I'm going to be arguing for at least 10 of these recommendations to just be removed. 10 of our new recommendations, and probably most of the old ones that we're saying aren't implemented, because I think it's just too hard to make them smart, and we should just water under the bridge and turn this thing over to a third party for a lot of these things, some auditing function, and just get rid of all the nitty-gritty. I'll be arguing for that before the end of this process, just to warn you guys it's coming.
Thanks for the heads up. The next comment is also from Casey, and it says we should indicate in the table which ones of these need to be completed before the next round of TLDs. She points out this was a tool used by CCT. I'm not sure that helped them get implemented, but I do understand the milestone that you're trying to tie this to.
Well, and I'm also recognizing that, you know, ICANN's got 350 of these damn recommendations to process somehow. And if we just say they're all high, that's they're going to throw that out and fold it into some other way of processing. Now, for better or worse, CCT at least picked a fairly rigorous method. It had four different levels, and one of them was prerequisite, which means it must be completed before the next round of GTLDs. I think it would be great if we could just use a method that somebody else used, so that ICANN doesn't have to sort through N methods. It could be N minus one that the committees use. But if you want to come up with a different method of sorting the recommendations, it's fine with me. It just should be some method. We don't have any method right now.
So does anyone have a concern with adopting the CCT approach? Hear a lot of silence.
This is Lauren. Nothing against adopting an approach. I would say if we are to do it, we should probably all have a quick look at what we're adopting. So I'm happy with having a shared methodology, but I would like to make sure first that we are happy with it and we think it works for us. Other than that, I think it's a great idea.
Okay, I'm going to add to the document that the team was asked to look at the CCT timeline. And can we use it too? So, Danko, you have a hand up? Okay, the hand went out. So Jennifer, if you could capture that as an action for each team member to take a look at the CCT timeline, and so that on the next call we can see whether there's consensus that that is an approach or not.
Well, Dick, thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute, it seems.
Yes, we didn't hear you. Your hand went down, and I thought that meant you didn't want to say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, just a comment. I'm not sure how that prioritization would actually fit with a sub-pro group work, because if we say that some recommendation is the prerequisite, that means it should probably fit into their work and for them to evaluate the whole package.
I think that some aspects of it will work. One, us already saying everything's aligned with the strategic plan is one thing, but another is it's aligned with the strategic plan and this one needs to happen before different milestones. I think tying them to implementation needs to occur before other things is helpful in meeting the T in SMART, at least.
Okay, well, it's up to the group, but I would just say that if we already have like three priorities, maybe it could be an additional flag or something like that. And when I'm already speaking, if you count the number of recommendations by the sub-recommendations also, that means that we have like 100 high priority recommendations. So that will actually also relate to the message about the total number of recommendations that is coming to the icon as the whole trinity.
So this is Lauren. Oh, sorry, Danke, continue. Sorry, I wanted to reply.
No, sorry, I think it seems to have some disconnect with my mic. I just said that if we have if we count the sub recommendations, we have like 100 individual recommendations that are flagged high. So it goes back to the total workload of the whole icon trinity. But I would kind of strongly encourage the team to rethink about the high priority ones and how many of the individual ones are there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Danke. This is Lauren. So I was also having talked to multiple groups to the report. I had the feeling, like going through it multiple times, we have an actual not so insanely high number of things we're saying need to be dealt with. So, you know, one of them is the whole audit side and so on. And maybe, and I'm not sure how we will do this, I'll just put it out there, we could identify the small number of key issues and essentially say, look, these are the six things, I'll just say six, that we identified, that's really the issues that run through, these need to be dealt with, and then we frame our work around that. I think the recommendations are very long, that's true, Danko, and that might be an issue, but I think part of it is because we're trying to do SMART, it's very hard to do a SMART recommendation that is also short, because if we want to do the SMART, we have to define, okay, this is how we think you should measure it. This is who should do it. This is what we recommend you do, right? So, but do you think framing around specific issue areas would maybe help?
Well, if it is a question for me, I'm not sure. Maybe there is something in that approach. But I also would just comment that I understand that the operating standards for specific reviews were adopted after the group's work has been started. But there are kind of guidance that maybe should be considered again. Because these standards call first for identified clearly the problems and then recommended solutions. And when I was today rereading the recommendations as we do have them, and I see that some of them are, as you said, are actual points that should be implemented, but some of them are more guidance how the other more important points should be done. So maybe there is something that can be done by reforming that, maybe in a way you suggested, that will help us reduce the total number of recommendations that is seen by the community. Because I believe this is one of the things that will be important in the public comments part. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Danke. I'll put this into a comment, link to the recommendations table, and then I think we have to discuss it, maybe flesh it out.
Thanks.
Okay, the next comment, are we ready for that? Is that the notion of security issues was not defined in any of the SSR1 recommendations, and yet we have built on that in recommendation 3. So nobody knows what it means, and Lauren agreed, yes, it's unclear. So maybe that falls in the point that KC was trying to make, that the SSR1 recommendations were hard to measure in the first place, and by us building on them as opposed to making our own recommendation, we are inheriting their terms and a bunch of other things from their document. What do other people think we should do here? We're on page 8.
This is Lauren. I'm not sure if Casey is still on the call. I'll refer to some of her work. Essentially, I think what we need to do here, a security issue is unclear. So essentially, what would we want ICANN to do? And I think this is essentially, ICANN should identify threats and potential harms. There is a good paper that KC wrote that we can reference. So that's why, and I think this makes sense to do, at least consider doing, right? And then we want ICANN to assess the risk and mitigate. I think we just have to be clear and not just say, okay, deal with security issues, but to say, look at those two things, here are the definitions, do an assessment, right? Tip. And then, yes, this makes it longer, but at least it's clear what it is. That's what I would propose we do.
Are you locked in, Susan? No.
Okay, what I put in there was ICANN should identify threats and harms. I think we should say publicly identify. Publicly now ends up in the wrong place. And we need to add a site back in the finance part, not here, right? I'm typing. So I didn't get what he wanted to do.
Sorry, I think we crossed the streams, Russ. So now we have publicly identify threats and harms, assess maybe resulting risk, and mitigate. I think that is clearer, and at least if we add definitions to what these things mean.
I would say associated risk. You shouldn't take assess out. You wanted to add a word, resulting risk. So it's still assess. Oops, associated you wanted... assess associated risk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make a note on the reference.
And I'm concerned with that. Okay, the next one is in the practices part, 3.2. And the comment is, I cannot promote security practices in the form of VSEC advisory documents. This is not concrete or concise enough. What do we want them to do? Again, I think the recommendation is muddled between vulnerability disclosure and other issues. So what are we asking for here? We're asking for a consensus document on what best practices are.
Russ, which page is this? I have so many comments. I'm struggling.
We're on page 8, section 3.2.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so this is Lauren. I'm just reading this, and I think KC's comment here is accurate. This is kind of, we were talking about identifying, we might have to pull these points into different recommendations. I'm not sure, because this seems slightly disjointed. I'm not sure what I would recommend we do here.
In chat, Danko says, is ICANN allowed to publish a case of breach at a contracted party? But that's in 3.3. I think we're on 3.2.
Hey, sorry.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering now, this is Lauren, was this cut and it was not meant to be about ASAC comments, but was this about their own stuff and then the best practices got added? Because the promotion of security best practices is already in 3.1 as well.
So are you saying 3.2 can be deleted? Because I don't
think
the point. Well, no, the point is that, no, contracted parties, agreements and MOUs would be the only thing that's missing.
Yes, so this is Lauren. We have recommendations about make changes to the contracts. So I'm wondering, wouldn't that be more appropriate to put there than here? So this is the thing, I think, this is why I think KC is right here. Like, one is about, okay, look at what's going on. The other one is, oh, make changes to contracts.
Does anyone want to speak for not deleting 3.2?
Hi, Ross. This is Carrie. Is there any way we could merge the thoughts? Because I don't think we would have created the two separate ones like that. Just to make sure that we capture all the elements of it. I don't have my screen open right now, so it's difficult to give any recommendation how to do it because I'm trying to cover two calls. But Lauren, I don't know, you're looking, I think you have the text in front of you. Is there any way to merge it? All the thoughts are covered.
Carrie, I'm just trying to scroll down. I am pretty sure that we have this in our contract change recommendation as well. So it's just duplication, maybe.
But does it have additional background information that would support the other recommendation that we're, like, to bolster the other recommendation?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine we'd have developed text.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I just can't see it. That's my only issue. I mean, I don't mind less is better right now, but I'm just thinking that if we had two fully developed recommendations, they would have had some arguments as to why they were distinct. So I was just wondering what. They may
actually
be similar, but addressing two different issues.
Actually, Kiriet, I think the way this happened, this one being an SSR1 outcome and the other one being I think they were separated too much in time.
Okay.
So I'm just, I'm still looking, but I read it 2 days ago. So I am pretty sure it is somewhere.
Okay.
I will add a comment then that says, can this be merged?
Yeah, instead.
Yeah. Don't delete it. That's for sure. Yeah, so we say something here about contractual obligations, aiding and abetting systemic abuse. We probably have to rephrase that too. So yeah, we have a lot of stuff about SLAs. So I would argue this would make more sense there.
Okay, we're down to less than 10 minutes on this call. I'm hoping we can get through one more. But this is telling me is that we're going to have a very long call when we actually go through these next week. So let's see. I guess the next one to deal with is Danko's comment in the chat, which is regarding 3.3. And he said, is ICANN allowed to publish a case of a breach at a contracting party?
Hey, this is Denise. Perhaps Danko could ask the ICANN legal team to answer that question. He probably has a higher chance of getting a response than we do.
Yes, I would be happy to. It's just my personal question because I saw some very good point in this recommendation about disclosing, but my point was I believe that there is already different recommendation that also speaks about contracts with the contracted party and how they should disclose to ICANN. But the question is, I don't believe it's current contract. There is ability of the ICANN to disclose it further publicly, but we can look into that. Thank you.
Okay, so I captured in the document, Danko will ask ICANN Legal whether they are allowed to publish a case of breach at contractor party. hopefully we can have that answer before we talk again. So now with only 5 minutes left on the call,
Russ, may I just comment on that?
You may indeed.
Okay, thank you. Security and stability is about sharing information. So to disclose information regarding SSR related issue is a must. Not can they or cannot. That can be anonymized, so not all information should be shared. And it says promptly to trusted and relevant parties. And okay, we can think and to reward this, but I would just keep disclosure here.
Does that information help you formulate the question, Danko?
Yes, it does. We will look into it. How do it's the best way to phrase it? I understand the Zarko's point better now. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Jennifer chatted to me that she was unclear how we came to what our conclusion was on the deadline for public comment. I think at this point, we don't want to grant any extensions until we know when our face-to-face is, because we don't want to give a deadline that is after that. So we need to finish that doodle poll before we can answer that question. So with so few minutes left, I think that we need to confirm actions and decisions. Jennifer?
Thanks, Russ. So the action items were for Brenda to extend the doodle poll to cover the first 2 weeks in May for the face-to-face meeting. I see she's already scheduled the 6th of March plenary call for 3 hours beginning at 1500 UTC. Team members should take a look at the CCT timeline to factor into the prioritization discussions on the next call. And then we have the action there to get an answer from legal regarding if ICANN is allowed to publish a case of breach at a contracted party. And then the decision, I guess, as you just said there, Russ, was to get a conclusion on the doodle poll before making a decision on the deadline extension on the public comment. Let me know if I missed anything or didn't capture something correctly. Thanks.
That matches my notes. Thank you. Okay. I think we're going to have a hard time getting through this document in 3 hours, but let's please, people, do your homework so we can. Is there any other business someone needs to raise in the last 3 minutes?
No.
Okay, hearing none, we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Bye, thank everyone. You all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.